إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Then to continue with Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah with the notes of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah. Then last week, obviously all these points here are connected with regard to Al-Qadr, pre-decree. And last week, we had the point with regard to Allah's Mashi'ah. Wa Mashi'atuhu Tanfudh. لا مشيئة للعباد إلا ما شاء لهم فما شاء لهم كان وما لم يشاء لم يكن. That His will, the will of Allah the Most High, is enacted, not the will of the servants, except what He wills for them. So whatever He willed for them occurs, and whatever He did not will for them does not occur. Then who can very briefly mention the belief of the Ahlul Sunnah with regard to the Mashi'ah, the will of Allah, and with regard to the Mashi'ah, the will of the servants? Who can summarize what is our belief in that regard? No. We affirm both. We affirm the will of Allah, and we affirm the will of the servants. But with a point with regard to the will of the servants, there's a point that we need to bear in mind, which is the will of the people, the will of the servants, is subject to the will of Allah. We also had that this position is the middle position, the middle and correct position, in between two extremes. Who can remember what the two extremes were in that regard? The two deviant sects who go to opposite extremes in that regard. The Qadariyah and the Jabariyah. And who are the Qadariyah in this regard? What was the mistaken belief of the Qadariyah in this regard? Who can remember the mistaken belief of the Qadariyah in this regard? With regard to the will of Allah and with regard to the will of the people. What was the belief of the Qadariyah? The Qadariyah, they deny the will of Allah and say the servants are free to act as they wish. The servants perform their own actions, create their own actions, and act as they will. On the opposite extreme, so in other words, they go to extreme in affirming the will of the servants, and they go to extreme in negating the will of Allah. Contrary to what as some brothers pointed out when I was during the explanation last week, I got it mixed the other way around. Then the other extreme sect, at the opposite extreme, the Jabariyah. What was their belief? The belief of the Jabariyah, the mistaken belief of the Jabariyah. With regard to the will of Allah and with regard to the will of the servants. Yeah. So they go to extreme in affirming. As for the Jabariyah, then they go to extreme in affirming the will of Allah and in negating the will of the servants. So they say a human just is like a leaf in the wind. He's forced by Allah, compelled by Allah, and has no free will. Who can remember the evidence for the belief of the people of the Sunnah in this regard? Who can remember the evidence? Or an evidence, any evidence that we had.
Yeah.
وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله إن الله كان عليما حكيما. Surah Al-Insan, the 76th surah, the 30th ayah. Not, as I said, the third ayah, the 30th ayah. That, again, another correction. The 30th ayah. And with regard to this week, then the author, At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he continues. And it's point number 36 in the explanation of Sheikh Al-Fawzan. He says, يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَعْصِمُ وَيُعَافِي فَضْلًا وَيُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَخْذِلُ وَيَبْتَلِي عَدْلًا. At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he said, continuing with speech about Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, he said, He guides whomever He wishes, and protects and keeps safe as a favor upon them. And He misguides whomever He wishes and humiliates and puts to trial from justice. Shaykh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he said, Allah, the one free of all imperfections, guides whomever He wishes, and He misguides whomever He wishes. And this is by the qada and qadr of Allah, and this is by the ordainment and pre-decree of Allah. So in other words, this point's connected to last week and before. It's connected to that. So he said, Allah guides whomever He wishes and misguides whomever He wishes, and this is in accordance with the qada and qadr, the ordainment and pre-decree of Allah. However, He guides those whom He knows are fitting for guidance, and He guides those who eagerly seek for guidance and who devote themselves to it. Then Allah makes the good way an easy way, or rather, Allah makes the good easy for him, for such a person. So just repeat that. He said, however, He guides those whom He knows are fitting to receive guidance, and He guides those who eagerly seek out guidance and those who devote themselves to it. So then Allah makes good easy for him, and He misguides whomever He wishes by reason of that person's turning away from seeking guidance and good. Then Allah misguides him as a punishment for him for turning away and for his lack of desire for good. So Shaykh Al-Fawzan makes a very important point, so that nobody gets the wrong understanding that Allah just guides certain people and misguides other people at random. No, this is not the case. As the Sheikh made clear, Allah guides those whom He knows are deserving of guidance. Those who eagerly seek it out, those who desire it, devote themselves to seeking it, then Allah guides those ones. And the other ones, those who turn deliberately away from it, don't deserve guidance, then Allah misguides those ones. So He misguides them as a punishment from Him for turning away and for their lack of desire for guidance. Then the Shaykh Al-Fawzan gives the evidence. He said, and this is made clear by His, the Most High, saying, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّكَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Surah Al-Layl, ayahs 5 to 7, with the explanation As for the one who gives in charity and is dutiful to Allah and attests to what is true, then we make easy for him acting in obedience to Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the cause is found with the servant. I mean, the cause of why Allah guides him. The cause is found with that servant, found with that person. And the pre-decree is from Allah. He, the perfect. Then he continues the ayahs from that surah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. Again, Surah Al-Layl, ayahs 8 to 10. With the explanation, and as for the one who is miserly and thinks himself self-sufficient and denies that which is true, then we make easy for him the path of evil. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the cause is found with the person, and the pre-decree is from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. However, Allah decreed that for him as a punishment for him. In other words, these ayahs make clear the affair of guidance, that those who deserve the guidance, then Allah makes easy for them the true path, guides them and makes easy for them the true path. And as for those who don't deserve the guidance and take the wrong path, then Allah guides them upon, or Allah misguides them, puts them along the wrong path and makes that easy for them. Shaykh Fawzan said, so, in other words, the reason is from the servant. And therefore, because of that, Allah pre-decreed for him what he receives. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so Allah decreed guidance as a favor from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Allah decreed al-Hidayah, Allah decreed guidance as a favor from himself, he the Mighty and Majestic, and he bestowed honor upon the person who wishes and desires guidance and desires good. Then for him, Allah makes the good easy, and he makes it easy for him to perform it. And this is for the person's benefit. It is not to the benefit of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Then he said, and as for misguiding of the misguided people, then that is justice from him, he the perfect and most high, and is a recompense for them for their turning away and for their not turning to good and to obedience to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So he makes clear that point. As for those whom Allah guides, then he guides them as a favor from himself, out of his fadl. It's a favor from him. And as for those who deserve misguidance, then he misguides them from his justice, from Allah's justice, because that's what they deserve. So he misguides them and gives them what they deserve, misguidance. Because they turn away from the truth, and they turn away deliberately from obedience to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So he gives them from his justice what they deserve. Then the Shaykh said, he does not wrong them whatsoever. I mean, the ones that Allah misguides, he doesn't miss in that. There is no wronging of them whatsoever. I mean, they get exactly what they deserve. They deserve misguidance. He gives them misguidance. So there is no wronging in that. Then he said, and therefore we find in the ayahs, and he mentions three ayahs, he said, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 258. With the explanation, And Allah does not guide the people who are transgressors. There he quotes the second ayah. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِ الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 264. With the explanation, and Allah does not guide the unbelieving people. And he quotes the third ayah. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِ الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth surah, ayah 108. With the explanation, and Allah does not guide the wicked evildoers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he made wrongdoing and unbelief and wickedness reasons for the absence of guidance. And these things are actions of the people for which he recompenses them as justice from him. He, the perfect and most high, as Adl. He does this, he misguides those people for those actions that are mentioned as adl, as justice from him. He, the perfect and most high. Not as dhulm, not as injustice or oppression. Then the Shaykh said, clarifying this point, that Allah does not oppress them. Allah does not do any wrong to them in misguiding them. He said, وَمَا ظَلَمَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ Surah An-Nahl, the 16th surah, ayah 33, with the explanation, and Allah did not wrong them, or Allah did not oppress them, but rather they wronged their own souls. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so it is not befitting for him, he the perfect, that he should bestow honor upon one with those characteristics. It is not befitting that Allah should bestow honor, the honor of guidance, upon those evildoers, those who choose unbelief, choose wrongdoing, choose, as he already mentioned. He said, it is not befitting for him, he the perfect, that he should bestow honor upon those who have those characteristics. And likewise, it is not befitting upon him, he the perfect and most high, that he should cause the deeds of those who act to be lost. It's not befitting that those who perform deeds, that he should cause their deeds just to be lost. He said, he, the one free of all imperfections, said, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اجْتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أن نجعلهم كالذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سواء محياهم ومماتهم ساء ما يحكمون. Surah Al-Jathiyah, the 45th surah, ayah 21. With the explanation, do those people who commit sins think that they will be made just the same as those who truly believe and perform righteous deeds in their present lives and after death. Evil is the judgment that they make. And the Shaykh makes a point, obviously establishing the point here, that it would not be befitting Allah that he treated the ones who wish for guidance, the ones who work, perform good, if he treated them just the same as those who are evildoers, unbelievers, turn away from good, don't seek the good, it would not be befitting him to treat them equally, to guide them the same. And the Shaykh quotes the second ayah that he mentions here. وَخَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ وَلِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ Surah Al-Jathiyah, Surah 45, ayah 22, the next ayah, with the explanation, and Allah created the heavens and the earth in truth, so that he should recompense every soul in accordance with what it earned, and they will not be oppressed. And he quotes a third ayah, affirming the same point. أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ Surah Al-Qalam, the 68th surah, ayahs 35 and 36, with the explanation, shall we make the Muslims just like the criminals? What is it with you? How do you judge? Sheikh said, this would be oppression. This would be oppression, which Allah is free of. And he said, He, the Perfect and Most High, says, أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الْمُتَّقِينَ كَالْفُجَّارِ Surah Sa'd, the 38th surah, ayah 28, with the explanation, shall we make those who truly believe and work righteous and correct actions? Shall we make them just the same as those who cause corruption upon the earth? Or shall we make those who are dutiful to Allah just like the wicked folk? Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so Allah, the Perfect and Most High, does not lose the reward of one who works a righteous and correct action. And he does not punish anyone for something which he did not do and for something which he did not earn. And he quotes the ayah, وَمَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ Surah As-Saffat, the 37th surah, ayah 39, with the explanation, you will not be recompensed except for that which you used to do. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan finished this point by saying, so the actions, all of them, whether good or bad, are from the person. And the recompense is from Allah, out of His favor and justice. In other words, those whom Allah guides, as the Shaykh said earlier, those whom Allah guides, then He guides them because they're deserving of guidance. And He guides them out of His fadl, out of His favor upon them. And those whom Allah misguides, He misguides them because they deserve misguidance. That's what they deserve. They didn't seek guidance. They didn't have desire for guidance. So Allah misguided them out of His adl, out of His justice. That's what they deserved, and that's what He gave to them. So that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of that point. And just very briefly, then Ibn Abi al-Izz, in his longer explanation of Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, he said, I'll just read, as I said, the very beginning of what he says. He said, commenting upon this point, that Allah guides whomever He wishes and preserves and protects from His bounty. And He misguides whomever He wishes and humiliates and puts to trial out of His justice. He said, this contains a refutation of the Mu'tazila. In this point is a refutation of the Mu'tazila with regard to their saying that it is obligatory upon Allah that He must always do what is most beneficial for the person. And this is the question of guidance and misguidance. So the Mu'tazila, they say, guidance is from Allah. And it means showing the correct way or explaining the correct way. This is what the Mu'tazila say. They say guidance from Allah is explaining the correct way. That He explains the correct way to the people. That's guidance. That's what they say. And they say misguidance is just calling a person misguided. And this is a false and futile saying of the Mu'tazila. They say misguidance from Allah, in other words, they're saying it's metaphorical. There's no true reality behind it. All it is misguidance from Allah is just that He calls a person misguided. He puts that term upon a person, misguided. And that He judges, He the Most High judges the person to be upon misguidance. When the servant himself creates misguidance for himself. Shaykh al-Fawzan, rather Ibn Abil Izz said, and this is built upon their false and futile principle, that the actions of the people are created by them. As we heard before, this is a false and futile principle. They say actions are created by the people themselves. So they say, so therefore, built upon that false principle, they say that people create their own misguidance. And then when they're faced with the texts about Allah misguiding, يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, He misguides whom He wishes, they say that doesn't mean He misguides them. What it means is that when the servants create their own misguidance, then Allah just puts the term upon them, they're misguided. That's all it means. He doesn't actually misguide them. So this is a false and futile saying. As Ibn Abd al-Aziz said, this is why Tahawi brought this point as a refutation of those people in that saying. Rather, we affirm that Allah actually guides those who deserve guidance, and Allah actually misguides those who deserve misguidance. And then he quotes a number of ayahs in that regard, which we will mention. So he said, and the proof for what we have stated is the saying of Allah the Most High, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Surah Al-Qasas, the 28th surah, ayah 56, with the explanation that Allah the Most High addressed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you do not guide those whom you love should be guided, but rather Allah guides whomever He wishes. Ibn Abil Izz said, so if guidance was just explaining the correct way, I mean, they don't affirm that it's an action of Allah. Guidance is an action of Allah. They don't affirm that. Actual guidance. They say it's just that Allah shows the correct way. That's it, full stop. No more than that. Ibn Abil Izz said, so if guidance was just showing the correct way, it would not be correct for guidance to be denied for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this ayah. Because he sallallahu alaihi wasallam guided, or rather he said, he showed the correct way to those whom he loved and those whom he hated. I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know when he gave the da'wah to the people, he called them to the truth. He made clear the truth, he explained the truth, he showed them the correct way to those he loved and those he hated. To everyone, he showed the correct way. So if that's what guidance means, just showing the correct way, then it would not be correct for this ayah to deny that for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, guidance is something more than that, contrary to what the Mu'tazila say. Then Ibn Abil Izz said, quoting further ayahs in that regard, and he the Most High said, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَأَتَيْنَا كُلَّ نَفْسٍ هُدَاهَا. Surah Sajda, the 32nd surah, ayah 13, with the explanation, and if we wished, we would have given every soul its guidance, its right guidance. And he quotes another ayah, يُضِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Surah Al-Muddathir, 74th surah, ayah 31, with the explanation, Allah misguides whomever he wishes, and He guides whomever He wishes. Ibn Abil Izz again states, and if guidance from Allah just meant showing the correct way, which is something general to every soul, it would not be correct to restrict that by His will. I mean, He only guides those whom He wills or wishes. Because Allah made clear the correct way to all. And He said, and likewise He the Most High said, وَلَوْلَا نِعْمَةُ رَبِّي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُحْضَرِينَ. Surah As-Saffat, the 37th surah, ayah 57. With the explanation, and if it were not for the favor of my Lord, I would have been one of those brought to the hellfire. In the last ayah he quotes, and he, the Most High, said, مَنْ يَشَأِ اللَّهُ يُضْلِلْهُ وَمَنْ يَشَأِ يَجْعَلْهُ عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 39. With the explanation, whomever Allah wishes, He misguides him. And whomever He wishes, He places him upon a straight path. That's, in fact, that's actually where the explanation of Ibn Abil'iz ends. It was just a brief explanation that he gave there. Then, At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he continues with point, as it is here, point number 37, وَكُلُّهُمْ يَتَقَلَّبُونَ فِي مَشِيئَتِهِ بَيْنَ فَضْلِهِ وَعَدْلِهِ And all of them fluctuate within His will between His fadl, His favor, and His adl, His justice. All of them fluctuate within His will, within Allah's Mashi'a, between His favor and His justice. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, None of the servants escape alternating or fluctuating within the will of Allah, between His fadl, His favor, upon those who obey Him and the people of good, and between His adl, His justice, upon the people of unbelief and shirk. So the people are between those two, between the fadl of Allah, His favor and bounty, and between His adl, His justice. And this is what befits Him, this is what befits His wisdom and His greatness. He, the one free of all imperfections, that He does not gather together between those things that are opposite to each other, and between those things which conflict. Rather, He puts, this is from Allah's wisdom, His hikmah, that He doesn't gather those things which are opposite to each other, and those things which conflict with each other. He doesn't, in other words, as a point the Shaykh is saying, Allah does not bestow His fadl upon those who deserve misguidance, those who are evildoers, unbelievers, and like. And likewise, He doesn't punish those who deserve, those people who are obedient to Him. So then He said, rather, He places all things in their due places. And therefore, from His names, from the names of Allah the Most High, are Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. And from His attributes are Al-Hikmah. Wisdom. So Al-Hakim, the All-Wise, this means the one who places all things in their due places. So He puts His fadl, He puts His favor upon the people who obey Him. And He places punishment upon the people of unbelief and sins. This is His favor, His fadl, He the perfect, and His justice, His adl. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Are there any points of clarification? As for the saying that all of them, all of the people fluctuate within His will, mean that what is actually meaning is Well, that's a good word to translate it as, yataqallabun, but what the meaning of it is that the people will not escape one of those two. They'll either be experiencing Allah's fadl, His favour. I mean, if the people are people of obedience to Allah, the believers, those who believe, those who seek guidance, those who strive after guidance, strive to be upon good, then they receive Allah's fadl. Allah guides them and then further guides them on top of their guidance out of His fadl, out of His bounty and His favour. Whereas there are others who disbelieve in Allah, reject Him, deliberately don't seek guidance, oppose the truth, and so on, then they are punished by Allah. And they are first in this world, they are misguided by Allah from His justice. From His justice, Allah misguides them. And then in the hereafter, Allah punishes them in the fire, again from His justice. As we said, it's not the case whatsoever that Allah just chooses some people and just randomly guides them, and chooses other people and just randomly misguides them. Not at all. Rather, in accordance with His wisdom. From His wisdom that He knows those who deserve guidance and those who deserve misguidance. Those who seek guidance, those who desire guidance, earnestly look for it, those who act and strive to be acting in obedience to Allah, then Allah guides them and He further guides them. And as for those who deliberately turn away from the truth, turn away from obedience to Him, they hate the guidance, they don't want guidance, then Allah knows they are not deserving of guidance, so He misguides them as a punishment for them from His justice, from His adl. And they can't claim, neither in this world nor in the hereafter, they can't claim that they're being punished in the fire is injustice upon them. That there are other people in paradise, that's injustice. It's not justice that they're in paradise and we're in the fire. Rather, it is from Allah's justice, His perfect justice. He gave them exactly what they deserved. No, sir. As we might as well quote it, as the brother mentioned, Ibn Abil Izz, because his explanation is only four lines long of that second point here, وَكُلُّهُمْ يَتَقَلَّبُونَ فِي مَشِيئَتِهِ بَيْنَ فَضْلِهِ وَعَدَلِهِ, and all of them fluctuate, or if we can find a better term, within His will, between His favour and His justice. And Ibn Abil Izz said, because they are, just as He the Most High said, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. Surat At-Taghabun, the second ayah, with the explanation, He, Allah, is the one who created you. So from you there are unbelievers, and from you there are believers. He said, so whomever Allah guides to true faith, to iman, then He does so from His fadl, from His favour. And all praise is for Allah. And whomever Allah misguides, then He does so in accordance with His justice. And all praise is for Him. And there will follow further explanation of this meaning, inshaAllah ta'ala, further in the book. He said, because the Shaykh, meaning At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he did not gather speech about pre-decree all in one place. Rather, he separated it throughout the book. So it comes, I have brought it here, in accordance with his order. In other words, we've just seen that this week there are matters connected to Allah's pre-decree. And likewise last week, and in future there will be some other points connected to pre-decree, obviously connected to the levels of pre-decree. The first level, as we know, the levels of pre-decree being four. Firstly, Allah's ilm, Allah's knowledge of everything. Secondly, Allah's kitabah, that Allah wrote down everything. Thirdly, Allah's mashi'ah, Allah's will, universal will of everything. Allah's universally willing everything that will occur. And fourthly, His khalq, His creating whatever was going to occur. So So as we saw last week with regard to Allah's Mashi'ah, the third of those points. So it's pertaining to Qadr. Which is why Ibn Abd al-Izz last week, the last quote that he brought, the quote that we mentioned from Wahab ibn Munabbih, where he quoted about pre-decree. He said, I examined pre-decree, and I became bewildered. And then I looked at it, I examined pre-decree again, I became bewildered. And I found the most knowledgeable of people about pre-decree are those who withhold the most about it. And the most ignorant of people about pre-decree are those who speak the most about it. That's why he brought the point about pre-decree at the end of a point about Mashi'ah. Because obviously Al-Mashi'ah is one of the levels of pre-decree. It's related to pre-decree. Obviously, like at this point, today's point, those whom Allah guides, He guides them and has pre-decreed guidance for them. And those whom Allah misguides, then He pre-decreed misguidance for them. But that doesn't mean that He forces the people upon one thing or another, and it certainly doesn't mean that He randomly guides certain people and randomly misguides others, as we said. The Shaykh mentioned, no, from Allah's wisdom, He guides whomever deserves guidance, and He misguides whomever deserves misguidance. And those whom He guides, He does so from His fadl, from His favor. Those whom He misguides, He does so from His justice, from His adl, that they deserve misguidance. Obviously, sometimes these points, they may seem to certain brothers, they may seem quite basic points. But as we see the importance, it's very important that we grasp that which is basic, because that which is a foundation, if it's not sound, then whatever is built upon it is baseless as well. As we saw the belief of the Mu'tazila here, because of one faulty principle which they have, then they build further faulty principles and faulty beliefs on top of it. This matter here, as Ibn Abd al-Izz made clear, that the Mu'tazila, they deny, or they don't truly believe in Allah's guidance. They think it's just a metaphorical term, and that basically the people create their own guidance. And likewise, misguidance, they don't affirm, they say misguidance is not from Allah, it's from the person himself. Why do they say this saying of deviation? Because of a previous principle that they've made up from their intellect, from their faulty intellect, which is that people create their own actions. So the first principle was faulty, so it leads to the second faulty belief, which leads to further faulty misunderstandings. Wallahu musta'an. No. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Yeah, although what they say, they don't affirm guidance with the correct meaning of guidance from Allah. It's an actual action of Allah. Allah guides whomever He wishes, meaning actually guides them. They don't affirm that. They say that all it is that Allah shows the correct way. He shows the correct way, and that just leaves them to it. Leaves the people to it. There's not an action from Him. They don't affirm it like that. Beyond that, Allah. There are some crazy things in their books. Allah. As the books of the Mu'tazila, their problem, the Mu'tazila, they base things upon their faulty intellect. They make the deciding factor the intellect, and their intellects are faulty to begin with. Yeah, so they make the big principle the aql, the intellect. So they build crazy things. You look at some of the things they say in their books, or have them read upon you. They come with craziness. Yeah. And one crazy belief, then it leads to, as far as they're concerned, whatever they say, it's in accordance with their intellect. So they say something crazy. And then, based on top of that, they say a second crazy belief based on the first crazy belief. Well, to them, the first belief is perfectly sound and in accordance with the intellect. So therefore, the second one is, and it leads them into further and further nonsense. So that's why one of the reasons we avoid the books of the Mu'tazila and their like. You just keep away from those things. With regard to the hadith, how do we understand the hadith where pre-decree was a hadith that's near the start of An-Nawawi's 40 hadith, the fourth hadith, third hadith, hadith about the pre-decree, that a person acts with the actions of the people of paradise until there remains only a handspan between him and it. And then pre-decree comes upon him and he acts with the actions of the people of the fire and he enters it. Then Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he had a nice explanation of this particular hadith. And from what I can recall in that hadith, he said it doesn't mean that a person is truly and sincerely upon right guidance, desiring guidance, and right till the end of his life, then suddenly Allah suddenly misguides him and puts him in the fire. It doesn't mean that. He said rather it's the case of a person who is not sincere, a person who is not sincere. Outwardly he's upon guidance, but inwardly he's got corruption in his belief. He's got evil in his heart, he's got corruption in his belief, even though outwardly he seems to be upon what is correct. Maybe he's not sincere in his heart, he's got corruption in his heart. Then just before the end of his life, then that overcomes him. And what Allah wrote for him, that he'd be from the people of the fire, that overcomes him. We don't take from that hadith that people earnestly seek guidance or upon iman, they try their best upon iman, then suddenly, for no apparent reason, they're just misguided at the end of their life and they enter the fire. We don't take it that way. That was the explanation given by Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, wallahu a'lam. Yeah, and as for the second part of the hadith, a person may act with the actions of the people of the hellfire until there remains only between him and the hellfire a handspan. And then the pre-decree comes upon him, and he acts with the actions of the people of paradise, and then he enters it. Meaning, as in accordance with what's apparent from the hadith, that's an unbeliever whom Allah guides. Unbeliever, he doesn't know about Islam or the like. Then he hears about Islam. All his life he's acted in accordance with what he was upon before. Then he hears about Islam from his sincere sincerity in his heart for truth, if it comes to him, that he hears the truth, he accepts the truth, he acts in accordance with the actions of the people of paradise. I mean, he believes, acts in accordance with the actions of the people of paradise, and Allah puts him into paradise. Wallahu a'lam. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu